The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here with John Budden to look ahead to the best of Saturday's racing. Four races to look at, two at Haydock and two at Carlisle on Saturday. Some decent jumping action, if we're being honest. We've had a bit of a strange period, aren't we, at the minute, John?
We are, Alex, yes. We've had 2 days of really pretty good flat racing, particularly on Good Friday. And now it's back to the old jumping scene, with the flat racing taking a bit of a rest for a few days.
Mm. I should have started by saying, hello, John, how are you? Are you okay?
Yeah, I am okay, yes.
Good.
Very well.
Good to hear. As I said, we are in a sort of transitional period. We are going to talk about the National because we are just a week away from the National now. But, of course, it's a week since the sort of Lincoln and the Brocklesby and everything. And we're recording this before Friday's racing, which is completely flat. So it's a real sort of mix at the minute. I say we're recording this prior to racing on Good Friday. Obviously, we've got Lingfield and Musselburgh there. The attention does revert back to the jumpers, at least for this Saturday, doesn't it, John?
Yes, it does. And for much of next week as well, of course, the build-up to the Aintree Festival and so on. Interesting, one or two little things, though, about the classics. I'm particularly intrigued, Alex. I'd just like to put this in, that I was at Carlisle last summer, around about early June, just before Royal Ascot, and there was a tremendous buzz about a filly called Likely. And she hadn't, of course, run. She was running for the first time. Qatar Racing, all the big men were there. David Barham was in charge. And my goodness, the filly won. She absolutely ran away from the field to score, you know, ears pricked, eased down by 9 lengths. And behind her was a very useful 2-year-old, as it turned out, called Matt Moo. Mm. And I thought Likely was certain to be involved in the Queen Mary. And lots of other people did too. But she got cast in her box and she wasn't able to run again all last season. But the news is good. She is back in training with David Barron and she is being trained for the 1,000 guineas. And it'll be most interesting to see if she stands her ground.
Very interesting, especially at the price, John. 33-1 she is for
well,
the guineas.
Well, I'd have a nibble on Likely, yes. Okay. I think she's a really good filly.
Okay. Very, very interesting. So that's looking ahead to some future flat race. I'm going to have a look ahead to some future jump racing just quickly before we move on to the four for tomorrow. And that is, of course, the Grand National, just a week away. Now, we are now non-runner money back and best odds guaranteed. So if you back a horse and it's a non-runner, you get your money back. If you back a horse at 7-1 and it drifts out to 10s, you get 10s. So you're in a no-lose situation. With regards to betting with William Hill for the National. The betting looks like this. Shut the Front Door is 7-1. Rocky Creek at 10s. Balthazar King at 11s. 14-1 for the Druid's Nephew. 20s for Alvarado, Cause of Causes, God's Me Judge, Sol and Spring Healed. 25s for Many Clouds, Pinot Array, Royal Knight and Union East. And 33s or bigger the remainder. We're not going to go into too much depth here, John. It was more of a price alert, if you like, and the fact that we are now best odds guaranteed on the race. But just briefly, what are your thoughts on the race? Who are your sort of two or three standout candidates this year?
Rocky Creek is my selection. It was last year. I thought it ran extremely well. Three out, I thought there was every chance of a win. Didn't finish his race, though, and weakened up the final straight. And, of course, we learnt this year that Rocky Creek was not really quite 100% for that race. Mm. Very impressive, I thought, at Kempton. Jumped beautifully, stayed on strongly. Looks a different horse this year, and I think he's going to be ridden with slightly more patience. Rocky Creek is my first selection. And I think, you know, 10 to 1 guaranteed is a perfectly good price.
I'd agree. And obviously well in at the handicap as well, with the weights being issued quite a bit earlier than most races. And I think he went and won at Kempton. Was it just the day after? Or it was certainly the weekend after. I think he's £7 or £8 well in. So Rocky Creek, there's not much not to like about him. Has, you know, form in the race, is a class performer and well handicapped. 10 to 1 could be looking an absolute steal.
I think he's got a really good chance. From the betting, the other thing which other horse who really catches the eye is the Druid's Nephew. Mm-hmm. I nabbed this horse at Cheltenham. He won well, very well. The team are in excellent form, the stable. He has, of course, to jump round. He's a little bit hesitant early on in his jumping sometime, but I think if he gets round the first circuit, the Druid's Nephew is definitely coming into it with a big of a squeak. Shut the Front Door is a very decent horse, but obviously with AP involved, almost certainly the price is going to be pretty short. But I do think the True John Joe has been underplaying Shut the Front Door. When I've seen him run at Carlisle, both over her and fences, he looks a really decent horse, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him run extremely well, rather better than John Joe would suggest that he might do. And interesting in the other two things in betting very quickly, they don't seem to like Many Clouds, 25 to 1 for a horse who was fancied to win the Cheltenham Gold Cup and the second favourite, ran very flat at Cheltenham. Interesting that he's running, or meant to be running, at Aintree, and were it to rain, seriously, Union East looks a very big price at the same level.
Okay, interesting. Just a bit of jockey news then on some of the horses that you've mentioned. The Druid's Nephew is going to be ridden by Aidan Coleman. We've got, you mentioned Many Clouds, that one has been on the drift. Leighton Aspel has got off last year's winner Pinot de Rey to ride Many Clouds for Oliver Sherwood, and Pinot de Rey will be ridden by Daryl Jacob. So interesting in terms of jockey bookings there. I think as well Nina Carberry is going to be riding First Lieutenant in the race, and it looks like Ruby Walsh will be riding Bally Casey as well for Willie Mullins.
It's going to be a fascinating race, and there's no question about that.
Okay, good stuff. But we're going to go with Rocky Creek and the Druid's Nephew for you, John.
Yes, Rocky Creek and the Druid's Nephew. I always had to have an outsider, and if he gets in, the outsider for me will be Bailey's Concerto.
Okay, very, very interesting. That one just a week away now, but we better focus on action a little closer to us now, and we'll start with the 125 at Haydock on Saturday. It's a novices limited handicap chase, 2 miles a trip for this one. 8 runners down to go to post for this Class 3 event. If all 8 stay in, then we'll have some nice each-way value potentially here, John. One horse that I'd like to start with here, and this is certainly ties in quite nicely with what we've just been talking about in the National, Village Vic for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson. Definitely an interesting runner in this. And if you scroll all the way down in Village Vic's form, you'll see that he won his bumper at Chepstow and then went and lost by a short head in a bumper to Shut the Front Door. If you go back to February 2012, obviously these two horses now operating at slightly different levels, but Village Vic is still a very, very nice horse. And he's certainly got claims in this one, John.
Oh, definitely. And the stable coming back to a bit of form after a little bit of a hiccup. You know, they were in tremendous form, Philip Hobbs's team, before Christmas, absolutely sweeping up the big races. Then, just about the turn of the year, the horses went a little bit off, I thought. But they're coming back again. Richard Johnson riding tremendously well. You know, I do hope that God allows him to become champion jockey next year. I think he really does deserve it. And Village Vic, as you say, has run pretty well. A winner at Newbury, a second at Newbury. The form of those two performances give him an excellent chance at Haydock. I just feel that I hope it doesn't rain too much, because I think he's better on really decent ground. But he is one of the horses who must have a major chance. it's an interesting sort of handicap, this, because it's not a great range, Alex. It's, you know, right at the top, we've got just Cameron, who is only carrying 11 stone 8. And if you take off Joe Colliver's £3, he's down to 11 5. Now, this is a horse who I think has run extremely well on its last two occasions. Duke of Navan, who is beaten twice in a row, once at Ayr and once at Carlisle, is a very decent number. And just Cameron, you know, showed a tremendous willing attitude in both his races. At Ayr, he looked sure to be beaten by Duke of Navan when Brian Harding came level at the second last. I think perhaps Brian, with looking back, would have suggested that if he'd gone on at that stage, he might conceivably have won. But just Cameron fought back and scored. And at Carlisle, there was simply no excuses. Duke of Navan came to take it up between the last two fences, looked sure to win, but just Cameron fought back eagerly and got away on the run in again. And so, you know, you couldn't discount him in this particular race.
Is it that Duke of Navan hasn't been running up to form, though, or is just Cameron a lot better than a lot of people gave him credit for? I think there is an opinion, John, that Duke of Navan isn't quite the same horse that he looked like he could be, if you like. Maybe his attitude isn't completely there, or certainly wasn't last time out.
Still a pretty good benchmark.
No, I agree.
You know, and he jumped pretty well, Duke of Navan, at Carlisle, and he wasn't disgraced at Ayr either. I thought it was attitude that just Cameron showed was excellent.
Yep.
However, he's won two in a row, and, you know, my sort of grandmother's rule is almost coming to the level that we need to look at something else. Gore's Island represents the south in this race, like Village Vic, the Moor Stable. Won well at Wincanton a couple of outings ago, disappointed last time. I don't really fancy him to take this race. Hugh Baltique is quite interesting for our Donald McCain, and could spring a surprise.
Wayne Hutchinson rides, John. That's interesting, isn't it?
It is interesting, yes. Very interesting indeed. Wilson Rennick, of course, been riding mostly for Jason Maguire, but not here. And Wayne Hutchinson is up to ride for Alan King. So, obviously, Donald McCain has decided to, you know, take the best available in his view.
Well, you've got Henry Brook riding at Carlisle, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And I believe, is Wilson Rennick as well?
Well, Wilson might be on the sidelines.
Well, he's down to... He's got potential rides at Sedgefield on Sunday,
yes.
So it may just be a one day, or he may have been out for a couple of days, but certainly interesting just if that becomes a longer-term thing, Wayne Hutchinson and Donald McCain. Not necessarily a retainer by any means, but just picking up a few rides and... You won't find many better jockeys than Wayne Hutchinson.
No, he's a very good jockey, stylish and strong. So Hugh Baltique comes in it with a chance. However, we left the winner to the last, and the winner is one of my favourite horses, and AP is riding it again. If and but, why not? One of the few jumpers trained by the man with the magic wand, David O'Meara, and although If and But, Why Not has only scored once over fences, he has run pretty well all the time, has been in the frame, and he won, didn't he, at Musselburgh. And who was in the saddle when he won? A.P. McCoy.
Correct.
And A.P. McCoy rides here, so I'm going to go with If and But, Why Not to give A.P. a winner in that 125 at Haydock.
Okay, a winner for McCoy there, hopefully, with If and But, Why Not in a good race. At Haydock, the 2 o'clock at Haydock is next up. It's a handicap chase over 3 miles and 4 furlongs. 13 runners going to post. No matter what the ground is, John, I mean, officially at the time of recording, it's soft, good to soft in places on the hurdle course. Whatever the ground's like, 3 miles, four takes a bit of getting. You know, there is an emphasis on stamina, but plenty of these runners are stamina laden. If you like, where should we start with this one?
A lot of horses a bit long in the fang here, but they are, as you say, stamina loaded. We start, I think, with Sue Smith's runner here. Certainly, I think our major runner, Lacamon. Now, Lacamon appears to have lost the plot. he certainly has not been anything like the standard that he was a couple of seasons ago in this campaign. But interestingly, last time out, Sue Smith put him back over hurdles, a three-mile hurdle at Newcastle, and he actually ran really quite well. Finished third behind Donna's Diamond, who's no slouch, and comes back over fences. He could be freshened up, Lacamon. Interesting runner from the Sue Smith stable. I think he could go pretty well. Old Men, Incentivize, has to come into that particular group. But Richard Lee has had a tremendous winter with his jumpers, particularly with his stamina-packed ones. And Incentivize may be getting rather old, but he's continued to run really well in such long-distance races as this, and wasn't disgraced at Warwick last time out when fifth of 14 on a marathon trip. So Incentivize, you know, will be running on at his own pace at the end of this race. I thought for a moment High Ron might give Andy Thornton a chance, but then we looked at the form and noticed he was fourth or fifth at Southall last time out, so it took a bit of a hiccup over that one. And Wayne Hutchinson was discussed for the 125 riding for Donald McCain, and I think the real reason why he is here is to ride for Alan King in this long-distance race, and he is, of course, partnering Ziga Boy. Now, if you look at the form, you might say there are more letters than numbers for Ziga Boy. And that is, to a certain extent, true. He was one of those, I think, unfortunate horses to take part in that West Wales Grand National down at Force Lass in the most appalling ground. Virtually the whole lot pulled up, and Ziga Boy definitely pulled up halfway around. He was then given a break, and I don't think he was quite fully fit until quite recovered from that exhausting run down in Wales when he went to Sandown last time out. But all the way round, he was jumping well and getting into the contest. And, you know, round about the pond fence at Sandown, there looked to be no other possible winner. Wayne Hutchinson hadn't moved. Ziga Boy was just galloping happily along right behind the leading three. But when push came to shove, around about the second last, he didn't quite produce as much as expected. And Financial Climate went on to win bravely in that contest with Ziga Boy back in fourth. But if you go back just to that race before Force Lass, you will see that Ziga Boy was running in a decent handicap chase at Newbury, and he would almost certainly have won that contest if he hadn't come down and seated the rider three out. So there are issues with Ziga Boy, but I think he's the one with the younger legs, and he could indeed come through to the score here in this 3.5 mile chase.
Okay. So we're going to go with Ziga Boy.
Yeah, Ziga Boy is the choice in the 2 o'clock.
Right then, we'll move up the west coast to Carlisle. We're going to look at two races there. The 3:30 is the first we're going to look at. It's a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Just the five runners going to post, John, but you couldn't really confidently rule any of them out. They've all got bits and pieces of form that will put them close, or they arrive here in really, really good form. We'll start with And the Man, the top weight. Nicky Richards trains. Harry Challoner rides and takes £3 off. Very much all or nothing for And the Man. If we look back through the form, fell last time. Then before that was second. Before that pulled up, fell. Won, second. Pulled up, first. Pulled up, first. It is very much all or nothing. You're either going to get a really good run for your money, or this horse will fail to complete. Is that fair with And the Man?
Yeah, perfectly fair. He's an extraordinary animal, And the Man, but there are one or two things about him that are positive. First of all, he is a horse who definitely comes into his own in the spring. Mm-hmm. Very, very much better after the turn of the year. And so all those pulled-ups took place earlier in the season. Funnily enough, the last pulled-up was at Sandown, and I thought he ran quite well in that contest. In fact, I said to myself, And the Man is coming back to him his own, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's not placed to win fairly shortly. Well, he ran extremely well next time out. He went to Newcastle, finished second to Oscar Rock, that good chaser from Malcolm Jefferson's yard, who's won again since, and he was equipped with blinkers for the first time. And that seemed to really lighten him up. He went back then to Ayr, his favourite hunting ground, the one one did think he would probably win, started favourite. He didn't really run quite as sharpishly as one thought he ought to have done. He was still in with a squeak when he fell, I think, four out. I'm not sure he's in love with Carlisle, but he's likely to run really quite a decent race if he certainly repeats the Oscar Rock form. Riskier's in the contest. John Wade has a liking for sending horses to Carlisle. Riskier is extremely one-paced, but very safe. I think he'll run a reasonable race. But the star horse, and I think the winner, is No Deal. A very, very interesting horse, No Deal. An absolute giant of a horse. Lucinda Russell says that they daren't weigh him at home for fear that if they did, he'd stick on the machine. He is so big. And he's also got really quite a lot of pace. As a young horse, he was showing a great deal of promise, and he won well at Ayr. And he fractured a cannon bone as he won. And now, normally, that would have been the end, certainly the end of a racing career and possibly the end of his life. But luckily, there was one of the veterinary surgeons from the Clyde Valley Veterinary School there at the time. And within literally 3 or 4 hours, he was taken, put to sleep, and the leg was pinned. Three metal pins in the leg. And he, you know, his future, not guaranteed, but it was certainly made to look a little bit rosier. No Deal missed all last season and then reappeared about a month ago. He ran promisingly at Newcastle. I spoke to the owners at Carlisle shortly after that. They were very hopeful that he would win next time out, and he did win. He won extremely well, beating Silverton at Ayr, jumping excellently and staying on with really quite a lot of verve. And I think No Deal, who had two entries at Carlisle, is going to be very hard to beat in this race.
Especially now that we've almost escaped the bounce factor. If you like, if he was going to bounce, as it were, it would have been last time out. Now he's got two runs under his belt, you'd expect it to be sort of business as usual, wouldn't you?
You would indeed, absolutely true. And you know, he's a really big horse, and Carlisle's an excellent grounding for big horses. Lovely uphill finish, just the sort of job. I'd be disappointed if No Deal doesn't win.
Okay, so a confident selection, No Deal, in the 3:30. The final race we're going to look at is the 4:40 from Carlisle, a handicap chase, Division 1 of a handicap chase. Over 3 miles and 2 furlongs, 10 runners going to place, to post even. 10 of them won't be placing, only 3 can in this one. And you'd imagine that the majority of the market action will be revolving around the ones at the top of the handicap here. John Gibbstown, Basford Ben, the Orange Rogue all arrive here in decent nick. There are some lurkers down at the bottom potentially, but which one do you fancy here?
Well, I fancy something more or less at the top end. I fancy Oscar Latine in this particular contest.
Okay.
But Gibbstown will run well, likes Hexham. Likes Ayr, has run quite well at Carlisle too. He's up the top of the handicap, but might certainly get into the frame. Bashford Ben likes Carlisle rather more so than Gibbstown. Was a brave winner last time out at Carlisle, just getting up to beat Viking Rebel, who, oddly enough, I rather fancied for this race, but isn't going. And so Bashford Ben has got a definite chance. Jenny Candlish trains, Henry Brooks in the saddle, and the stable are in pretty good form. Also running in this race is Acre Rua, Tim Fitzgerald's horse, or rather like And the Man, tends to have more letters than actual numbers, but he does win a sort of long-distance handicaps every now and again. Andrew Tinkler's coming up to ride too, which is interesting. I'm going to go, though, for Oscar Latine in this contest. Sandy Thompson trains, and his horses continue to be in very decent form. Now, Oscar Latine was was strongly fancied to win at Kelso last time out, home ground for Sandy Thompson, who at one stage was very closely involved with the Kelso rugby team, and I think still has Scottish rugby interests very close to his heart. But he is now concentrating on training. And Oscar Lateen was expected to win at Kelso, didn't. Jumped sketchily, but wasn't entirely disgraced. However, on his penultimate run, he was here at Carlisle, and I thought he ran extremely well, good enough to win this race anyhow. Finished second on that occasion, and only just run out of it up the final straight from the last fence. Who rode him? James Reevely. Now, James Reevely was not in the saddle at Kelso. One of the finest horsemen on the Northern Circuit, in my view, Alex. James Reevely, he's back in the saddle on Oscar Lateen here, and I think he'll give the horse a really good ride, and hopefully Oscar Lateen will come good and score. It is overdue.
OK, Oscar Lateen and the pick in the 440 from Carlisle. Great stuff, John. Best luck with your picks at Haydock and Carlisle on Saturday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.